Welcome to Church Online as we gather together. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time or if you're watching together as a congregation. My name is Lynn. I'm the minister at Adelaide West and I'll be sharing with you today. Yesterday we held our community fair. It was a time of opening our doors and offering God's hospitality, a time of connections and conversations, a time of music, food and fun. People left with books and toys and cakes, craft and plants, and we hope with a smile on their face. We pray that God's love and hospitality were seen in all that we did and were at the fair. As we begin our worship, we light a candle together as a community of faith. And we do so remembering that God hears us all, wherever we are or whenever we're watching this, and blends even distant voices into one song of worship. And so we worship together. A hymn that has been sung for many generations, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. So here we are at the community fair. We've had a great day. We've just had the West Torrens concert band sharing. We've had a number of other people playing in the auditorium, which has been fabulous, including a couple of school bands. And
We've had plants and books and craft and all sorts of things inside the church area. And then here outside, we've got the barbecue and the drinks and the kids' stall. It's a great place to sit out in the sun or under the shade and just be chatting with everybody. So we thought that today it would be good to bring you the Bible reading from the fair. And I've got Hayley Roberts with me, and Hayley's going to bring us the Bible reading. So over to you, Hayley.
The Bible reading today is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A man lives with blindness. He cries out. He is heard and healed. And he leaves his old life behind to follow the one who heard him. According to the World Health Organization, globally, at least 2.2 billion people have either a near or distance vision impairment. And over 200 million live with a moderate to severe vision impairment. Now, I don't know what it's like to be blind. I can only imagine, and I suspect my imagination is nowhere near accurate. I know we have people who live with vision impairment who are a part of our online services. And if that is you, you know what it's like living with a disability. And a hello to Molly, the guide dog who watches every week together with Annette. From what I hear and observe, there is a lot of misrepresentation that you live with. Discriminatory attitudes and wrong assumptions from those who should know better. And those of us with sight can't put on a blindfold and assume we therefore know what it's like. And in any case, just as every person is unique, so every disability is unique. It's up to all of us to break down attitudinal barriers and to make our communities and ultimately our world a more inclusive place. In an inclusive society, people living with blindness or any disability have opportunities and resources to learn, to work, to engage with other people and in the wider community, and to have a voice. Annette refers to the ideal of nothing for us without us. In an inclusive model, social model of disability, the emphasis is removed from the person and onto society, and the barriers that society places through assumptions and unconscious bias and low expectations. Attitudinal and other barriers dehumanize, exclude, and disempower. If people living with vision impairment do see, they just view the world in a different way and not through sight. So today we see the barriers, the assumptions, and the unconscious bias in the story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus lived with blindness. Clearly, he lived with barriers for work and everyday life. Some things haven't changed today. And he was begging. At the time, being blind was understood to be a punishment of God for some sin or moral failure, either by the person or their family. Therefore, one was abandoned by the community of faith that normally protected the vulnerable, To be blind meant being deprived of economic, political, and social means of the day, and hence, if you were blind, you were poor. And in many ways, you were considered to be a non-person. So it's not surprising that in the Bible, most of those who are blind are beggars and also have no names. Bartimaeus fits this too, as his name simply means son of Timaeus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for that last week before going to his death, and he comes to Jericho, about 20 kilometers out of Jerusalem. He's on a journey to the cross, and he pauses here before climbing the hill to Jerusalem as Jerusalem sits high. He's with his disciples and a large crowd. Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We can imagine the scene. No one pays any attention to a blind beggar in the street. There were so many others like him. The famous pilgrimage of Jews going to Jerusalem had begun, so there were more people on the road. Hence, there was greater potential for the day for a beggar. Bartimaeus can't see Jesus, but he hears the noise and the jostle of the crowd. He senses the excitement, the anticipation of Jesus. He hears people talking about Jesus of Nazareth, a famous teacher. The noise of the large crowd would have overridden the footsteps of Jesus in sandaled feet, and Bartimaeus doesn't want to miss out. And so he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Notice in this passage that Mark has different names for Jesus. The crowd is talking about Jesus of Nazareth, but Bartimaeus calls him Jesus, Son of David. It's significant. He's making a political claim by calling him Son of David, not simply Jesus of Nazareth, which locates him with his hometown, like Lynn of Adelaide. Unlike the crowd around him, Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. And he cries out, "Have mercy on me." This normally meant cash or food, but this seems to be different. He's calling from his heart to Jesus. There's something bigger going on than just asking for money or food. "Please recognize me, a poor man without status." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. One has to ask why. Is it shame? They want him to shut up, to not be a nuisance. Is he giving Jesus a bad impression of their town? We hear the arrogance, the pride, nothing to see here attitude. And I wonder, do we still see this today? Society pretends that no one is needy among us, or we try and dehumanize the poor so we don't have any responsibility, or as a global world, we look out for our own country and don't take responsibility or show compassion for those that struggle to eat or find shelter. Our overseas aid budgets decrease. Perhaps this is what we actually say to the asylum seeker when we say, "You can't come here. It's illegal to come here. And if you do, you'll be put in detention." Is this not rebuking them and telling them to be quiet? We need to see people the way that Jesus did. Everyone is valued and loved by God. We welcome and accept all in our midst, in our lives, in the church, in our society, and in the world. Amongst all the hustle and bustle, the large crowd, the chatter, the noise, Jesus hears Bartimaeus and he stops. And he tells the crowd to call him. Interestingly, we now see a different side to the crowd. They suddenly move from scolders to encouragers. It sounds a bit like, "Cheer up, old chap, on your feet, Jesus is calling you." And then Bartimaeus throws his cloak aside. Only a few verses earlier, In the message 2 weeks ago called Coming Last, we have the rich man who had everything and whose everything prevented him from taking the way of Jesus. The rich man couldn't give up his abundance, but here the poor man gave up the only thing he had, his cloak. The cloak he would have spread out every day to catch the coins tossed to him. A cloak was the outer garment that was worn to keep one warm. He probably slept on it at night. But he threw away his protection, his working clothes. It would have been part of his identity, a symbol of his life, and yet he throws it away, eagerly even, as he jumped up. He needs something else, and so he throws this aside so he can receive from Jesus. I wonder what we need to throw away in our lives to follow Jesus. What attitudes do we need to give up? What are we wearing as security blankets? What are we carrying as baggage? Jesus asked Bartimaeus, What do you want me to do for you? Same question to James and John from our message last week. They are similar words that they say to Jesus in the preceding verses. We have something we want you to do for us, to sit on your left and to sit on your right. But here, Bartimaeus says, "Teacher, I want to see." And Jesus heals him. But it seems that in some ways, Bartimaeus has already seen where the rich ruler and the disciples haven't. He may not have had sight, but he had vision. Helen Keller, who herself lived with blindness and deafness, said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Bartimaeus has recognized who Jesus is. Perhaps he is the one who could see more clearly, just not through sight, but he saw Jesus for who he was and he reached out to him. Perhaps everyone else was blind. The one who was considered the outsider is the one who saw most clearly the nature of God's kingdom as Jesus was revealing it in the nature of the kingdom of God. Where Jesus crosses the standard cultural, ritual, and communal taboos once again, challenging us, inspiring us, encouraging us to do the same today. The life of this man is transformed, not just by the healing, but by having vision, understanding who Jesus was. And the story finishes with these little words, "And he followed Jesus down the road." He follows Jesus. He leaves behind his old life and he follows his teacher, his healer, Jesus, the Son of David. Who are we in this passage? Who are you? Are you Bartimaeus, calling out for Jesus in prayer, challenged to throw away the things that hold us back from following God? Are you Jesus, breaking the barriers of discriminatory attitudes, hearing Bartimaeus, caring for others when society doesn't, praying for transformed lives? Or are you in the crowd, telling him to be quiet, trying to tell the world there's nothing to be seen here? You know, Jesus was on a journey and we're all on a journey. In Mark, this story is just before Palm Sunday. Everyone with him is moving on, but he stops. Stops for someone who cries out, someone in need of mercy. On our journeys of life, we cry out to Jesus. We can cry out in our tears for our own struggles or the struggles of others. We can cry out in prayer. This week, I encourage you to cry out in prayer for those people and situations on your hearts. Be like Bartimaeus. Cry out in prayer. Be like Jesus. Hear the voice despite the busyness, despite the crowd, despite the noise. As we seek to be in a community of acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus, we cry out in prayer. You know, despite our suffering, Jesus hears us. Despite the busyness around us, Jesus hears us. Despite our own busyness, Jesus hears us. despite the world groaning with climate change and poverty and environmental destruction and COVID, Jesus hears us. Despite the crowd around us, society telling us to live a certain way, telling us to look out only for ourselves, to gather many possessions, Jesus hears us. Be encouraged today. Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, the one who transforms our lives. Jesus hears us. Amen.
I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. Bring me near, draw me to your side.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we come to you knowing that you do hear our cries. We come to you because your call comes to us and you call us to be near to you. We come to you because you deliver and save. And we come to you now with our prayers and those situations on our hearts. in the noise of voices calling for revenge and restitution, for judgment and punishment. We pray for the courage to speak out and for restoration. When grief and pain and poverty and persecution leave people blind to grace and compassion, we pray for the courage to carry the light of comfort and consolation, love and forgiveness. Where the quest to even the score has left our world angry and wounded, we pray for the courage to release our grievances and seek wholeness for all. As you intercede for us, Jesus, we intercede for our world that all may know the good news of the restoration in Christ. We do bring those things to you that we know separate us from you and us from others. We bring those things where we have those biases, where we put up attitudinal barriers, where we're not inclusive to each other. And we thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through Jesus' life and death, that we may be forgiven and free. Holy Spirit, we bring to you today those people on our hearts. We pray that your healing, your love, and your mercy would surround them, would be with them, would carry them through whatever it is that they're carrying today. Taking comfort from our prayers, may we comfort one another through your love and the sharing of our experience. God of wholeness, we celebrate the healing that you bring to us and our world, and we celebrate the promised wholeness that awaits all of creation in your eternal reign. And we pray our prayers together in the name of Jesus, who brings us light and hope in our lives and in our world. Amen. Thank you.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
We do hope this service has brought you joy today. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray with you. Either send us an email or press the prayer button if you're watching live. We continue to bring our offerings to God, financial and practical, and we pray that they would be used to share the good news of Jesus in our communities and in our world. This week, be encouraged that Jesus hears us despite the noise. Hear the voices of those around you and cry out in prayer. Be in prayer, knowing that Jesus hears. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship and unity of the Holy Spirit be yours today and every day. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.